All right, got on screen, perfect. All right, thank you everybody, good morning. Welcome to, I would call it day two or day one of Tech Ed in terms of going to sessions and whatnot. Thank you for getting up so early. We know it's been a long night last night if you were at the opening party, and we appreciate you coming in this morning to see our session. My name is Tony Sanchez. I'm on the Worldwide Alliance team with Citrix Systems. A lot of the job and responsibilities I have is integrating Citrix products, specifically with things such as System Center, SCVMM, SCOM, basically anything that touches ZenApp and Zen Desktop from an Alliance perspective and code perspective. That's pretty much what I get to do. I also get to take this information that we've worked with partners, again, specifically Microsoft, and bring all this great data over to you guys so you have firsthand knowledge of what we've been working on together. Over to my right is Nigel Webster.
Hi, I'm Nigel. I've been working with the control panel that we're going to demonstrate for 10 years. My main focus has been talking to customers who have been provisioning desktop as a service using our control panel.
Excellent. So go to the next slide here. So we're going to go through a pretty great amount of data. We've got some little bit of marketecture, so please don't be offended. Leave early because you think you're not going to get any good technical bits. It's worth staying. Trust me, we're going to go into the code. We'll show demos. We'll show scripts. We'll show behind-the-scenes action of how all this stuff works. So definitely, you know, stay as long as you can, and you'll definitely get some great information as we get closer towards the end. I don't believe we have a clicker, so we're just going to have to walk back and forth to for the slides here. Here's a little bit of agenda. We're going to probably cover a majority of everything you see here. We'll go over the cloud app delivery section. We recently did the acquisition of Cortex, so there is a lot of questions in the industry about what are we doing, how are we integrating Cortex from a DAS perspective, and what are our customers leveraging it for? For example, cloud providers, enterprises as well, and how they can leverage the control panel to automate a lot of the IT challenges that you guys face every day, and really helping you save time, building ZenApp servers, building the infrastructure as needed for specific workloads. We'll also go to some more in-depth demonstrations like we talked about, showing how the code works end-to-end, and we'll also be logging in and doing some live over-the-wide area network demos all the way to USA. So we're going to be really pushing HDX to its maximum. We're probably talking about 2,000-plus milliseconds of latency to some of the data centers we're going to connect to. So we're going to really see how well everything works over this wide area network. And then at the end, we have questions and answers. We do have some beanies. We're going to be walking around, throw these away. So if you were kind of cold last night, think you might get cold tonight, we're giving away a bunch of free beanies. So keep your heads warm while we go through the presentation and after. In terms of licensing, so there's Citrix licensing specifically for our service providers. And then there's another form of licensing from Microsoft called SPLA. Both are very similar in the sense of user and device licensing. But we're going to kind of talk about how those affect a DAS architect and what their challenges are in regards to which is the best licensing model for me to use for building my infrastructure for delivering not just the Windows operating system, but again, all the applications that reside inside there. Here's a few of our service providers. Again, me being from the USA, some of these I know very well, but Nigel being over here from this side of the world definitely knows a lot better. USA.net is one I'm familiar with. Maybe Nigel, you can talk about a couple of ones over on the MSP side.
Yeah, well, look, it would be interesting just to get a show of hands from people here who is here from the hosting industry.
One brave soul. Right.
Two, I thought. Two. I saw two. Who's part of a system integrator? Okay, there's a few more. Telcos? No telcos in the room. Managed service providers. Okay. So Cortex is the deals, or the Cortex control panel, all these customers were pre the Citrix acquisition. Basically, we deal with a lot of different channels. The Cortex is a very flexible control panel, and can, as you can see, has been used by some very, you know, we've got one of the largest internet solutions provider in South Africa. Melbourne IT is familiar to people here. Some big telcos. And there'll be a few, Pointivity, I think, is actually cloud. Ooh, there's so many cloud things, I can't remember what they're.
Cloud.com, we've got a couple acquisitions.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so that's some of our customers.
Excellent. So, like I said, we have a little bit of marketing stuff. architecture, so to speak, so I'll keep it to minimum, I promise. We'll get to the good stuff. But for those of you that are current Citrix customers or actually are responsible for administering or architecting the Citrix architecture, go ahead and raise your hands real quick if you don't mind. Brilliant. So this is nothing but a brain refresher for you guys. You pretty much understand this. But unfortunately, there are some people in this room, probably even in this conference, that honestly still don't know what we do. They are really not familiar with what Citrix does today. They still think WinFrame, MetaFrame from 20 plus years ago, when in fact it's really, really changed. It's nowhere near what it was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago for that matter. But what we're going to talk about is how cloud providers and services can really leverage all the bells and whistles that HDX brings to the table. If you're not aware, we just recently released last week Zen Desktop 5.5 as well as Zen App 6.5. So major enhancements in the sense of things we do with flash redirection. Really help taking advantage of things in this scenario where we're going way over the pond to get a great user experience. We've actually beefed that up from 30 milliseconds and above. So you're going to find that Flash has really changed. New things with delivering things such as Windows Media Player redirection. That's in a beta format right now on Zen Desktop 5.5, so you can actually play with that code as well. So there's definitely some key new things. If you haven't downloaded it, spend 5 minutes and read about what are the new options that are available that really help optimize the HDX experience. Each one of these are relative because the receiver is the most important part as we look at from the end user side. The DAS architect will build either one of these architectures, and pretty much after that point, it's hands off. It's up to the user to go ahead and log in. And that user is going to log in for a variety of devices. It could be from a Windows tablet, it could be from an iPad, it could be from a variety of different things that they choose. The cool thing about it, again, is that we have support for over 1 billion different tested devices. Whether it's Android, Windows, Ubuntu, Debian, Linux, you can keep going down the list. We pretty much can cover any device from any connection. So that's a good thing to think about when you're designing the architecture. At the end of the day, you don't care. All you care about is that it's solid at the beginning, it runs, and what device it connect from, I should say, is pretty much irrelevant as long as we have a client from it from Citrix. Windows apps on any device, again, looking at what we can do from the receiver, and an iPad is just one example. It's really taken a lot of the things by storm, but you're also going to find that other tablets are also making headway as well. iPad just happens to be one of the ones you hear from a bigger marketing perspective as well as market share. But either way, regardless, the objective is still the same in the end. Get whatever device it's coming from to the destination, and that destination is pretty much always going to be a subset of Windows-based applications or Windows desktops. Again, what's great about it is that as we build up this slide, either one of these technology endpoints we come from is going to deliver that same user experience hosted in the data center that many of you are familiar with. Each one of those are important because you may decide as an architect, based upon TCO, Zen App is the best way to go in terms of scalability. You may decide because of a licensing challenge, maybe Zen Desktop may be the way to go. You may have a mix of both, and it all depends on what architecture you're providing for that particular tenant or that customer at the very end. In either way, from a user perspective, they really don't care. The objective is get them to the architecture that you provided, that again is hosting those Windows applications as fast as possible. And again, from their perspective, they just see the screenshots coming across the wire. It's pretty simple for them to log in. We'll kind of go past this slide a little bit here. Meeting the needs of service providers and subscribers. So we have three different levels. We have the user, the tenant, and the service provider. Each one work a little bit differently. For example, the user was that person that was logging in from the tablet. Their main goal as a person that is subscribing to that subset of an architecture is to get to that application, that desktop, as fast as possible. That's the most important thing. That's all they care about. They don't care about what magic you did behind the scene. They just care about that they can get access to it right away. The tenant guy is the guy in the middle. He's the one kind of juggling the balls and kind of figuring out how everything works and how to provision that particular subset of architecture down to the user. And then you also have the service provider who's responsible for a lot of the automation, a lot of the management of the architecture that's underlying, whether it's the hypervisor, whether it's the operating system, whether it's building that basic set of hardware and early level infrastructure to be able to deliver that straight out to the tenant via items such as a dashboard provisioning. And this is really where Cortex comes into play, is because as a tenant, you have full control of seeing not just what your user has access to, but also from that service provider perspective, what they delegated via some of the advanced rights and permissions that Cortex brings to the table. And then from the user side, self-service performance. So once that user logs in, let's say it's a person that's from finance, they have the ability to go ahead and say, okay, I brought in 5 new people for my small business. How fast can I get them access to SAP? How fast can I get them access to a Dynamics application without having to go through the process of calling an IT person? I just need to log in, let them self-provision that subset of applications, and automatically they have access to it. So each one of those are really important because it speeds up that entire process of getting that end-to-end user login. These are some of the common things that we've identified at Citrix that are pretty big challenges. Each one has its own particular category: subscribers, technology, and businesses. From a technical perspective, kind of give me a hands up if you think you've found that multiple portals and things like that are a little bit challenging to administer. It'd be easier if you had one single portal, one pane of glass, essentially, to do all of your day-to-day work from. And that's really what Cortex brings to the table, amongst other things, is being able to say, hey, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're going to be doing this sort of work for a tenant or a subscriber, the user interface is pretty much identical, you'd say, Nigel.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to go ahead and pass this over to Nigel, and he's going to go a little bit more deeper into the control panel side of things.
Okay, so what is a control panel? This is probably the first question. The issue that you've got when you're offering desktop as a service, or indeed any host service, because the Cortex control panel comes from the host services market, the issue is orchestrating all the little tiny tasks that have to happen, automating them all, putting them out in a reproducible way. It could be called a control panel, it could be called orchestrated provisioning system, it could be called an identity management system. It does all of those sort of things. As I said, we've been doing it for 10 years. This is something that Tony touched on. Basically, the same control panel, the same code, can be used by the service provider to configure the various elements that go to make up the user experience. Because although we're talking about desktop as a service, a desktop's no good unless you're actually giving the user a mailbox. You could put Outlook on their desktop. If they don't have a mailbox, it's not going to work. So you've got a whole range of different environment that you have to set up for the user experience. What the CSP interface is doing is allowing the service provider to control what can be subscribed to by the tenants. So, for example, in the ZNAP world, you might set up a specific specific farm just for one reseller. Cortex, you can configure that reseller just to use that farm. When he sells to his tenants, everything is consumed from that farm. Similar with Exchange Server, you can decide what mail stores are you going to allow your subscribers to consume. From the customer-facing interface, what we're talking about here, the real value add, is delegated user administration. Basically, that means the customer administrator can stand up their own users, they can decide what applications they consume, all that good stuff, what their desktop experience actually looks like using the same pane of glass.
And to add one thing to that, if you look inside that panel, you see each of those are particular workloads, right? The user's going to have access to whether it's hosted apps, whether it's Link, Exchange, either one of those. Once the infrastructure is provided, what's the brilliant part about Cortex is it will go in and provision that on that said hypervisor, in this case, Hyper-V. So it's pretty cool because we'll show some of the demos that that's already been done. So the panel already understands what the underlying infrastructure hypervisor is, and it will dish out that workload automatically on the fly to run on that particular hypervisor.
And the other thing that I should emphasize too down the bottom there is the custom services. We're not going to get into this too much, but there's an SDK. You can stand up your own custom service. So if you're in a vertical, and if you know about the travel industry, and they've got specific applications that you want to provision out to your clients, you can stand that up as a separate service. You get the billing, you get the same pane of glass, you get all that good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the architecture. The first thing that we decided right off the bat was that the one control panel is going to talk to multiple ADs. So the authentication at the very top there is authenticating directly against the Active Directory. However, the website does not have to be in there, and it can authenticate to multiple Active Directories. All the authorization, however, is kept in the database. Cortex controls what the user can and can't do. It's effectively brokering the permissions. That's why you can safely offer delegated user administration through it. The users in Active Directory have no inherent rights. They're not administrators or given permissions on anything. The second thing is the provisioning. We're going to get into this, and I'm going to show you through our provisioning service, we'll call it, and actually go through it, actually do some debugging. I'll add a new little rule, show you through that. The key is sometimes standing up some of these services takes time. What we've done is we've got a queued mechanism there so that each of the provisioning actions hits that queue and the website is still responsive. We keep the state and we poll the state and we come back and we show the user when their stuff is actually provisioned, but it doesn't prevent any other tenants from provisioning. And as Tony touched on, all this end here, all the hosted applications, they're just set up. That's part of the infrastructure that's set up. Cortex sits on top of it. Usually, in a very small instance, it can be as small as three servers or even two. And you don't really have to scale out that much. If you want to scale out, you're really just doing it for high availability. So you'll, make the Cortex web under load balanced and all that kind of stuff. But pretty much three servers in the mix. Because what you've got to understand is, and this is another thing to understand, the control panel is just about provisioning. It's just about delegated administration. So there isn't actually that much load in many ways in the control panel. The actual load for the actual usage, you build your infrastructure with enough grunt to do the job that you're expecting it to do. The control panel is just about adds, moves and changes to the users, which is a much smaller load than the actual authentication, serving up a mailbox, all that kind of stuff.
What's interesting, I think that Nigel and I were talking about, is the way the Active Directory is designed. And if you can touch a little bit upon that, it's pretty much taking a lot of the pain in the sense of managing group policies and doing these all one by one for this particular business unit or this particular tenant. And it does pretty much all of that for you and takes those particular group policies, takes those queries, binds them so that this new tenant you may have created will have access to what you created for them, but they can't go up to the parent OU and they can't see the rest of what's in the Active Directory forest. So that's pretty important, and you'd agree, Nigel, because that really is a big security risk that when you're taking this information and it is being hosted in the DAS architecture, you almost forget that. You kind of have to worry, well, who else can see my Active Directory OU? In this case, it's pretty much locked down.
Absolutely. We go to real efforts to lock down the OU structure and make sure the GPOs are there. When you go back to the architecture, in terms of the other hosted applications that could be in there, some of them now are, finally, they are segregated applications. Some of them you have to do work to segregate them. Cortex will either tell you how to do that or will actually stand up the objects that are necessary to do custom segregation. So that's definitely its job and its promise. So what are we going to show in the demo? The service provider can stand up a tenant. How does it actually work? We'll go through that. The tenant administrator can then come and create the users, give them the applications that they want to do. The users, we're not going to go into that too much. They've got a change password application. They've got a single sign-on tool. They've got some Outlook configuration. Actually coming is, it might even be in this release, is the ability for the users to actually use Cortex to manage their own identity.
Okay. So we switch. We'll switch over to three. And give us a second for that to kick in. Okay. All right, you're on screen. So in this scenario, what we've done is we've logged into a remote session that we have hosted somewhere way across the pond. And what Nagel is going to do is actually show you the front end of the Cortex control panel, as well as show you how it integrates directly with Active Directory. You can see the parent domain. You see all the sub-OUs that were created. And essentially what that effective group policy permission is for all those particular tenants and service providers that were created automatically from the control panel.
Okay, so I've logged in with top secret password that you just saw as the kind of the god user in the control panel. And when it finally kicks up, you'll see what it can do. Basically, what I'm going to go through is let's create a custom and let's actually do it through the control panel and then actually dig into what is actually going on under the covers. So I'll create a control panel, a customer, we'll call it
So as he goes through and creating each one of these, you'll see that the customer section pretty much mirrors exactly what you see in sections 2 and 3. In sections 2 or 3 are going to be the additional logins for the administrator. Now the administrator is going to have a separate credential created for him, but what's kind of interesting is as he's creating all of this, he has the ability to impersonate who that administrator is, so he can kind of figure out what their access level permissions look like once he actually has those two steps created.
Okay. Creating the customer is actually kind of a wizard. The first thing you do is you stand up the customer with a little bit of information about that customer. Then you actually bootstrap with your first administrator. So we'll just do that right now. And so this user is the user that the customer will use to go and create their users from then on. And you'll get to see whether I can remember to type, which I can't.
You did use a super secret password, right?
I did, super secret, yeah.
Okay.
It's usually in my muscle memory, but there we go. So then, having created the administrator, the next step is choose what services are available. Now, I logged in as the top level guy. If this was a sales channel person doing it, then the set of services that were available to be provisioned would be the set of services that the service provider has enabled for that reseller. So there's filtering as you go down the tree. What I thought, we're only going to look at a few because we've got a reasonably short period of time, but we'll just have a look at what is actually available. The top service is AD Sync. What's that about? Basically, you've got a use case where the user is managed in a corporate environment. That user may want to consume services from a hosted environment. What you do is you put AD Sync, little listener, on the domain controllers in that corporate environment. It'll talk back and get the events of user changes, user password changes, that sort of thing. It'll send it back over the API. It's all nicely encrypted. I could tell you the protocols if I looked them up. And will create the user according to the attributes that you set that user on. So you could put that user in a particular group if you want them to have an Exchange mailbox. You could put them in a particular group if you want them to have a desktop. You could set some attributes on them. So it'll listen, and depending on how you configure the AD Sync, it'll automatically create your set of users, and the user passwords and logon names will be in sync. BlackBerry is pretty obvious. You need Exchange to do this. Citrix is our desktop service, which we're actually going to go through. Cortex is a service that's just sitting there because we need a service to define user stuff. CRM, it's got a little star next to it. There's a certain set of services where you will want to stand up more than one instance, potentially at least, for each customer. So CRM, particularly if you've got a third party involved, they might be adding special CRM add-ons. They'll quite likely stand up a test instance or pre-prod instance and a prod instance. Do their backups, do their new releases onto the test instance, et cetera, et cetera. So on a customer basis, for those sort of services, you can control that on a one, have multiple instances configured. DNS, creating MX records, blah, 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 blah. Basically what it does is you, as a service provider, will set up a a DNS domain, and they will be able to, as a customer, to control the subdomains underneath that domain. File sharing often goes hand in hand with a desktop service. If you've got a more complex customer who wants and needs to be able to share files amongst themselves, you can add that use a file sharing service. What it does is gives that customer segregated section of your file system, and it's all controlled through the web and delegated safely. Host Exchange is Exchange in hosting mode. SQL Server hosting, MySQL hosting, OCS link. You can define reseller. It's really for a sales channel. You can define the sales channel. In this environment, actually, you can see two different, they're called Cortex Proof of Concept and Cortex something else, two different locations or two different Active Directories. You can define reseller can resell into one of your locations or two of your locations, SharePoint and virtual machine being the ability to create a hosted virtual data center, basically, using Hyper-V.
Yeah, virtual machine, in this instance, what it can do is, because the architecture has been defined at the layer one level, he already has Hyper-V built. He already has that particular base level infrastructure built. He can go ahead and query SCVMM to go ahead and provide subset of VMs that he can build on the fly from a template that's already been created and made in VMM. So one of the things is, we went through a demo the other day. We had the ability to go ahead and pick and choose, hey, I want to provision, let's say, a couple Win7 blank VMs. And I want to provision on a dynamic VHD that's already been created in SCVMM and is ready to be distributed to the Hyper-V host. Each one of those functions, that VMM option that he has there for VMs will go ahead and allow that user to build either one of those by just doing a very simple click of the VM, the proc it wants assigned, the amount of RAM it wants assigned. In this case, it could be dynamic memory, it could be a static page file, either one of those. Those are all predefined from SCVMM, and all we're doing is a fetch, going back and saying, here's what you want, click, click, click. That user now has access to go ahead and have those additional set of VMs to log into or to do whatever they need to do with.
Okay. So what I'm actually going to do, I'm going to go to a pre-canned one. We're going to find a customer that I've already created that's got a lot of these things so that you don't have to see all the services being created. That customer is called... So for this customer, I've already stood up Hosted Exchange and the virtual machine. So let's actually look now at the desktop. What do you see when you see when you go to provision a desktop? In this case, it's a demo environment, so it's limited set. But what actually is going on? You can choose from multiple different farms. You can choose there, and depending on the farm, you'll get a different set of applications. Now, what we've actually done is each application effectively here, we're just presenting an interface that is basically putting users in and out of Active Directory groups. Very simple integration.
In each one of those Active Directory groups that he's talking about, you can see here you've got Word, Excel, PowerPoint. That's querying the ZenApp particular farm. And it's making a check back to that particular AD group assigned to that XML collector and saying, please fetch whatever hosted app I have available based upon the AD group that I have access to. So once all that's done, again, from behind the scenes, the user now has access to go ahead and log into that specific hosted application. The tenant just went ahead and picked that particular workload, assigned it, and now that person will have access to it.
Okay. Just going to look, now go into that customer and add some services to that user. So you've got, I can get the menu to work. So depending on what applications you made available at the user, again, filters down to what applications you can give this user. So we'll just go and give this user all the office stuff and provision. So what is actually going on when I do that? Let's actually have a look under the covers. So here's AD. Just refresh. You see all the little customers underneath there, all segregated out into OUs. Now, they don't have to be OUs. A customer could be in a separate Active Directory, and the interface itself, Cortex interface itself, will look exactly the same. But when you are doing hosted what's actually cortex doing. Basically, what you're looking for is the OU. And I need a bit more room. And basically, all we've done is actually made sure that certain security principles are pulled off that OU, the OU does not inherit, etc., etc. Basically, when you're usually giving a user desktop, you go to a lot of effort to lock down what the user can and can't do, group policy, that kind of thing. We basically also go to the effort to make sure that the users in Active Directory can only see users in their OU. So that's that done. When you actually have a look at the user, all we've done, and it's very simple but very powerful, is we've added the users to a certain set of groups. They're at the top there, App, Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, and Word, etc. We've assumed that the service provider is securing those applications in ZenApp using those Active Directory groups. So we're just providing an interface effectively back to the customer, delegating them, being able to put users in and out of Active Directory groups. It was deliberately chosen because it's simple, but it's actually quite powerful. Now, it depends on the complexity of the customer that you're looking at, but one of the things that you can do, obviously just using Active Directory groups, is you can define what I call role-based groups. And some host customers do this a lot. Basically, if you go and give the Citrix service to someone here, I mean, I've just defined a few. You've got a finance guy, you've got a salesperson. So basically, you can put someone in the finance group. That, in turn, will put them in the Active Directory groups and give them access to all the finance applications so you can collapse the complexity down. Depending on the size of your customer, this is a very important overlooked feature because, you know, there can be a lot of applications that you're controlling. The simpler the interface you can present here, the easier it is to give delegated administration out. So using Active Directory groups to get all that good stuff. The other thing that we do is we set this stuff here. And we also go and create these shares. In this case, I think there's a share created with a profile path. You typically wouldn't do that, but you can. The user home, obviously you often share that. Cortex is also in the background, actually creating those folders, permissioning them and all that kind of good stuff. The other things you can set, actually these have all pretty much gone away now with the new GPO stuff, but basically there's a set of Active Directory attributes that are also controlled on the user, basically to make sure that they've got the terminal services rights that they need. Okay, that's pretty much in its simple, very simple terms. It's a very simple service in many ways, but a very powerful desktop control. Let's actually now have a look at the provisioning and the power in our provisioning engine. What you're looking at here is, actually we use this as a development tool. Our customers can get access to this, and it gives you the ability, what's actually going on here. These are the actions that are being used to actually do the work. So let us have a look at this. Customer service ad. If it's hosted Exchange, do lots of stuff. Create public folders, make an offline address book, blah, 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 blah. All these lovely actions in here. What are these rules? A rule is a combination of a condition. If it's blank like this, obviously it's true. And an action. Action is a very small DLL. The fact that we have broken each action down into very small discrete steps, the power of that is that when you actually go and have a look in the provisioning requests, if you open up one here, you'll see each little step. Now obviously this was green, so there's no problems with it, but if it didn't work, you get to see exactly, oh, I went too far, you get to see the exact step that it failed on. That gives the service provider control over what is actually happening, where things are breaking, and a really good chance of fixing the issue. So each little, so the provisioning actions are not a big black box. They're very, very simple, discrete sets of actions. You can add a new action in here. So if you decided that actually for host exchange, I need to do something else, you can just insert a little action in here, and we'll use a default one. Execute a PowerShell script, something like you've actually got to be able to type. And then you could have, you know, on. So you've got this thing here. The other thing that's happening is you actually have access to what information has been sent through. So we'll just say that. You can see, if you have a look from this debug control panel, you can see what information was sent through for this user. So basic stuff like the service name that you provisioned to, the username, the customer name, etc., etc. All that information is in here. If you wanted to go and reference that in the action, I didn't save it, then you can reference it quite simply by going
and it could be any type of PowerShell script, Nigel. It could be a PowerShell script to clean up user settings. It could be anything.
It can do anything that you want that you need to extend. So you can reference all the little properties that are sent through. You just have to put squiggly brackets on the end, and you get access to the properties that have been sent through. They've been collected from the control panel interface and sent back through to your provisioning server. So you've got quite a powerful little orchestration model here, and extendable. Quite simple. It's been designed so that you don't not have to be a coder to write this. It's been designed so that if you're a business analyst or a tinkerer or a scripter of any description, you can extend this thing. That's the point of this.
Okay, I think that covers that part.
I think
that
covers it. Yep.
Cool. All right, so let's bounce back over to number 4. And kind of we already went through the extendability rules, so we could kind of skip through that.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We covered that really well. So let's say Nadre went through all this. He created the particular tenant. He went through all this work of creating everything in the control panel. So the next question is, what does it look like when I'm ready to log in? So from here, we're going to switch back over to number 3, I believe it was. So we'll switch back to 3, and then we're going to go back into showing you what does it look like post-creation. So here, we'll get this out the way. And I've already taken the liberty of logging in. So I've created all this information. I've created a particular ZenApp workload. What's next? Where do I log into? What do I get access once I've logged in? Here's something interesting, though. When you're looking at creating either one of these architectures, you saw in that panel it said Citrix. It was pretty much really focusing on ZenApp and the way some of the architecture works with SPLA and so forth. You may decide that it may not be the best TCO for that particular tenant to give them a Windows 7 desktop. You may decide that, really, if you think about it, what do they care about once they've logged in? They really care about that the skin and the look and feel is Windows 7. Quite honestly, that's the first thing you look at when you log into your desktop. If it doesn't have that look and feel, by default, the user will probably kind of reject it to some extent, whether, regardless if it doesn't have or does have the apps on there. What's interesting is with ZenApp 6.5 that came out, if you're not aware of it, we have something that's really, really brand new that we kind of had before, that was all not really automated, but done via group policies. If you see here, I've got two desktops. This one is Windows 7 here, and we're going to go ahead and minimize that one. We actually want to grab the one over here. That's a desktop viewer. So you can see I've got a desktop that I've logged into. For the most part, it looks like it's Windows 7. It has a start menu, it looks like it's Windows 7. It has a taskbar, it looks like Windows 7. But in reality, it's not. It's an RDS ZenApp server. What we've done is we apply what's called a management pack that's part of 6.5. We've applied all of these things that are traditionally a group policy that are now in an MSI-based package. And when the user logs in, they get the applications that they've requested here, but the UI and skin matches Windows 7. So from a TCO perspective, if the only thing they're going to get are a subset of applications that were provisioned here, which are the hosted ones, it may make a lot of sense just to give them either a desktop with the apps embedded, or it may make sense to just go back here and they provision Office and let them get that whole entire hosted Office application here. Now, what's brilliant about this is when we launch it, we have the ability to go ahead and run that application, but because the architect at the endpoint went ahead and managed that application with SCCM, it doesn't really matter from the user side because they'll get Word, but what they're also going to do is get this Word application here that's also an AppV package. So there's ways to go ahead and leverage those things, not just from a DAS perspective, from enterprise. So all those same system center tools, those same virtualization techniques you use, it doesn't necessarily have to leave once you go into a different sort of DAS architecture. It can still follow you because that's all done behind the scenes. So you see here, there's my AppV client because I launched this hosted app, again, created over on the backend side from Cortex. It's just another way the user has access to it. So what's kind of cool is that if we go back in this particular setup, this is a normal Windows 7 desktop, again, full Windows 7 Zen desktop. But again, very simply, I could go ahead and right-click and go to Personalize. And I can change the theme here to go ahead and match the same theme as Zen app. So again, going back to that user side, if you looked at those slides at the very beginning, what did we really care about or what did the user care about? That they got access to what they needed to, that it looked and felt like Windows, that the apps followed them, whether it's inside here or whether it's outside here. So from their perspective, they pretty much can accomplish their job with what they need just by using either one of these architectures. Okay, so let's go back over to our PowerPoint and go into package and reporting. Kind of not so much of a fun technical stuff, but as Nigel will explain, sometimes you do need to kind of understand the basics of what packaging reporting is. And some people more care about the binaries, the architecture. But it may be helpful for the marketing people in your team that need to know more about how does all this stuff work in terms of reporting.
Yeah, as Tony said, we're not going to concentrate on the packaging reporting. Basically, you guys, as technical guys, just need to know that such things exist. Pretty much what happens is, as service provider, your marketing guys will decide that this is what you're going to sell or this is the desktop that you're going to provide to your users or whatever, and you will need to be able to configure Cortex so that that is what happens. You can create little packages and...
There you go.
What's this?
Let me just build it all out. Yep. There you go.
Okay. You can create the little packages, and the packages are... whatever your marketing team has decided. You can assign SKUs to it. I haven't actually shown you it in the interface, but every step in here is audited. So the user that did the job is in the database. You can get hold of who deleted this user, who added this user, who gave users this rights to this thing they shouldn't have, all that kind of stuff. So there's an extensive packaging and auditing part of Cortex.
I think this is a summary slide. Pretty much. I think we had a little bit of that portion of the demo, but not a whole lot. It's not really super technical, so we want to make sure we cover more of the queries and the engines, but I think pretty much that's what we have left after this one. It's just a bit of a recap.
Here's some reporting stuff. Yeah. So basically this is talking about a billing report, which is interesting if you're a hosted provider. So it shows you the users that have been added and when they're added and all that kind of stuff. There's auditing reports, there's billing reports, there's reports from the client point of view, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very hard to demo, so I'm not going to actually show you that because demo environments get dropped up and down and you don't actually get much useful data in there. But this is a key part of the offering. So what is the value add? Basically, if you are going to be offering desktop as a service, especially in the host environment, you need to automate things. You need to come out in a control way. You need to be able to delegate the administration to your end users. That's key. And that means that you can scale. So that's my marketing speech.
And I think that pretty much brings us to the end of everything. We wrapped up a little bit early. So if you do have any questions, we can definitely answer them. We can go deeper into more about that panel, more about any of the particular scripts that he showed. Does anybody have any questions related to that? I can't see anything. No, I think most people are still kind of sleeping from last night. So we thought we'd end it early for you. I think that's all we have. If you have any other questions, go ahead and stop up. But thank you for attending. We appreciate your time.